This is Digital Story Podcast number 530, May 3rd, 2016. Today's theme is Drones, the Case For and Against. I'm Derek Story. Back in April, it was reported that a drone struck a British Airways Airbus A320. The story made headlines across the internet, only to be refuted a few days later. Apparently, it was most likely a plastic bag that collided with the plane. We're quick to damn drones as aerial nuisances, but are they really that bad? We'll take a closer look during today's show. If you've ever been buzzed by a drone, as I have, you know what an uncomfortable feeling it is. And I think it's in our DNA to dislike anything that approaches us from above. It's like, I don't know if it's like a pterodactyl kind of thing or what, but we don't like things coming down on top of us. I do know that. But to be honest, these are rare situations when we have these rogue pilots, abuse the privilege of being able to fly these unmanned aircraft more or less freely across the U.S. and other places. And for the most part, drone pilots do appear to be responsible. Now, personally, I'm not using drones right now for my photography, but that doesn't mean that I've ruled them out. It's just that I haven't come into a situation where I needed that particular tool. So I've been thinking about them, and okay, if I did need to do some aerial work, what would I use? There are lots of options out there, most of them more expensive than drones, to be honest. And I thought, okay, well, as part of my vetting process on this, I would draw up a pros and cons list, just like I do for many business decisions that I make. And I thought that you might be interested to hear what my thinking was around drones, especially from someone who is neither a drone advocate nor someone who is against them. I am pretty much right in the middle of this, and I'm still learning about their evolution, I think, just like a lot of folks are. So here we go. I'm going to start out with the case for drones as I see it, and then I'll talk about the case against them. First of all, they're cost-effective for aerial photography. If you've ever priced out how much it would cost to rent a helicopter or to be part of a helicopter tour to shoot a specific location, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I think that's one thing that unmanned aircrafts have done for us, is that if we want to shoot some footage, let's take Hawaii. Let's say that we want to shoot along the coast of part of Hawaii that there aren't a lot of people and it's sort of remote and it's particularly beautiful. And if we had to rent a helicopter to do that, that would be pretty expensive. However, we can pack up a drone, go over there, or go there and most likely rent a drone and do our shooting. And it would really cost us far less, and probably be safer, in all honesty, than renting a helicopter. So I think that for a lot of shooters, aerial photography is much more within reach because of these unmanned aircraft. And I think that's definitely a plus. Another plus, they provide a new perspective. We're constantly searching for new ways to photograph things. And I've said for years, go up, go down, look all around, that kind of thing. And one of my favorite tricks has always been when I went to a new city, a new urban center, was to find a tall building that I could get up to the top of it, not climb it, not like some people, take an elevator up to some sort of observation deck and then see what I could see and hopefully get a good photograph, scout it out, and then maybe come back at a great time of day for that particular area. And I always love having those types of images in the mix. Now, I'm not going to just shoot everything from a super high perspective. You know, my thing is to mix in different perspectives for a really compelling presentation. But I do like the high perspective. And I think that what drones have done for some photographers is that they've made that part of it easier. You're no longer limited to a particular building that has an observation deck. You can actually scout out an area, and if it's okay, if it's legal to fly a drone in that area, get your shot that way. So having the ability to get that high perspective without being limited to observation decks and helicopters and things like that, I think that's a big deal, and that's definitely in the plus category there. Energize our craft. Combining drones with cameras can get someone excited about photography again. And, you know, we're always looking for this. I think part of my attraction to film photography right now is that it has energized all of my photography. So by, in my case, revisiting something that I had a passion for years ago and that I now have a passion for again, has made me more excited about photography in general. And I think drones can do that for people too. If you're kind of in the, you know, I just feel like I'm doing the same old, and then you discover unmanned aircraft, and maybe a friend introduces you to one, lets you fly his or hers, and you take some shots, and suddenly you go, wow, I'm just really excited about this. I really want to do this. I really want to take pictures using these tools. So I think that it can be very energizing, just as other things can be too. I know that some photographers really enjoy going underwater, and by doing underwater photography, it keeps them excited about photography in general. Now, all of these things, and we'll talk a bit about this in a second, of course, you know, adds labor and expense to your photography. But we'll talk about that when we get the case against drones. Another four, possibly new business opportunities. Now, I know that the real estate market and the commercial market in general, providing some opportunities for photographers who have unmanned aircraft. And I suspect that there will be more of these opportunities coming along. Plus the ability, for instance, if you're a videographer and you're doing a project, you're hired by a client to do a project, and you can add this type of shot. You can say, okay, you know, we'll do the shot where we put the GoPro on the truck, and then we'll go around the bend and da-da-da. And then, you know, we'll do a close-up of the product itself. And then we'll do an overhead with the drone where we zoom in from above and really come down on the angle that way. Well, I mean, that's pretty interesting. That is a whole nother level. That's a whole nother thing that you can add to the project. And if you're a guy that can do that and this guy over here can't, and the client likes that idea, you might get the job. So I think there can be new business opportunities as a result of this type of photography. And then finally, in the case for drones, I think they're just plain fun. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, we all loved, you know, flying, you know, model aircraft. It was a blast. I know my friend had one, and I know I crashed it a number of times and just had a ball the whole time. And I've always been, you know, obsessed with everything from paper airplanes to rockets that you pump and shoot up into the sky and, you know, all those kinds of things. They're just a lot of fun. And I think that unmanned aircraft, these drones, and especially now that they're easier to fly, it's a blast. And even if photography isn't your main goal here, even if you just want to have fun flying these things around and photography happens to be a byproduct of that, there is nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, I think when I watch people fly these things, they look like they're having a great time. And I am never going to discount any activity, as long as it's responsible, just because it's fun. Having drones be fun is definitely something in the plus column. So what about the case against them? Well, I mean, I think that's interesting too. And I mean, the first thing that comes to mind for me are irresponsible pilots. And, you know, just like we have people that are irresponsible drivers for cars and what a nuisance they can be, I think irresponsible pilots also can be a nuisance. And I would say, you know, the one thing about automobiles and bicycles and, you know, the more traditional modes of transportation right now is that there is a set of rules that everyone tries to go by. And, you know, there can be consequences if you don't follow the rules. I'm feeling still, even though the FAA is working very hard on getting a handle on unmanned aircraft, I think it's still a bit of a wild west here. And if you have an irresponsible pilot, especially at the personal level, not so much. I mean, if he flies over the Super Bowl, okay, that's one thing, and there are rules there, and there will be consequences. But how about if he's flying over your backyard? And, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you, you know, you're going to file a complaint? And they go, well, you know, can you prove it? And, you know, there's going to be stuff. There's going to be stuff, and it's not going to be easy. And I think that area still needs to be worked on a bit. It is being worked on, but we're at the early stages of this, and I think irresponsible pilots can be a pain in the tush right now. Expensive new hobby. And, you know, this is the thing. You know, I mentioned underwater photography earlier, and that was always kind of the wrap on that for me too, which is you have photography already, which is expensive, and then you add this whole new dimension, the underwater part. Well, all that gear is expensive, and then you have to go places where you can use it, which I'm going to talk about in a second, for drone photography. And I think there is some of that here too. I mean, when you really get into it, you have, you know, the aircraft, you have, you know, maintaining the aircraft, you have the controllers, you have the gimbals, you have the cases or whatever you're using to transport the aircraft, you have the batteries. You know, there's a lot of stuff, and you know, you can probably start out fairly reasonably, but like most of us do with photography, once we get a taste for it, then, you know, we want to add more, we want better, all that kind of stuff. And I could see this expensive new hobby, you know, really adding up. Now, obviously, if you have the money for it, that is not a problem at all. If you're on a tight budget, then that can be a different matter. And so then I'm thinking, well, do I want to add a new expensive thing to my budget? And, you know, that's been, in all honesty, one of the main reasons why I haven't jumped in with both feet, because I know how I am, and I know pretty soon, you know, I'm buying the top of the line thing from DJI and off I go. So something there to think about and temper as you think about getting into this new line. Drones have a low nimbleosity rating, and if you've been working toward lightening up your load, traveling lighter, using smaller cameras, you know, all that kind of stuff, carrying less gear, this is going to take you in the opposite direction. Because, and if you've seen the cases for drones that photographers are using, especially when they're, you know, when they're flying somewhere and they want to take their drone with them, then you can see that, you know, this is quite the setup. You know, the case is rather large to fit the aircraft. Plus you have the accessories, all that kind of stuff. And then you have that in addition to your camera gear and anything else that you're taking on the trip. So if you're really working towards traveling lighter, this is going to take you in an opposite direction. More travel for less shooting. And, you know, one of the things that I love about still photography is that you can walk outside your back door one day, shoot one type of shot, the next day shoot a different type of shot, and you can just go on like that forever. And, you know, photographers plant backyard gardens for macro photography, and they attract insects, you know, all this kind of stuff. If you're in an urban environment, you know, the city's constantly changing right around you, and you rarely have to travel very far to keep getting fresh new material. And I think with drone photography, I think what happens is that you end up having to travel more. Go to these places where you can fly, where it's okay to fly, in order to get the kind of footage that you want. And plus, let's say that you live in a suburban environment and you can fly your drone in your backyard. How many shots from above of your backyard do you really want? I mean, once you get one, isn't that pretty much it? So I think, you know, there's this other thing, this quest develops to go and find new adventures that really work for aerial photography, that really, you know, capitalize on the ability to get up in the air and shoot down on things. And, you know, that can really lead to a lot of travel for fewer pictures, something to factor in. And then, you know, finally on this, the drone stigma. And this is real. I mean, I opened up the show with a story about the plastic bag hitting the British Airways flight and how everyone just rushed to the conclusion that it was a drone that hit it. And there was some pilot that was being irresponsible. And I mean, that covered the internet for a couple days without question. I mean, people said, yeah, you know, I was just waiting. It was just a matter of time before this thing happened, you know, before one of those drones, you know, brought down an airplane, heaven forbid. And you're going, it was a plastic bag. It wasn't a drone. And I think right now photographers, just being a regular photographer, you have a certain stigma that you're dealing with. And I think this actually adds to it. Now, you may be the type of person, you don't care about this, and then that's great. It's there, and I have a feeling that's going to be there for some time. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us after just sort of mulling over the case for and the case against? Well, where I am right now, and what I advocate, is keep an open mind about this whole area of photography. Because it is exciting, it is new. These aircraft are evolving quickly. They're easier. They're more controllable. The FAA working on guidelines for flying them. I think the Wild West part of it is going to be corralled sooner than later. And I think, you know, pretty soon we're going to know what we can do with unmanned aircraft. We're going to be able to do it in a lot of different places with a lot of different tools. And I think we're going to see some really exciting photography as a result. And I think we should not be too quick to damn these things during the downs, you know, when something bad happens. Hopefully no one will get hurt, and that this type of activity can continue to evolve in a safe way, in an exciting way. And then we can all just sit back and really enjoy the footage and the still images that are created by putting cameras on these flying aircraft. In the news, Fuji giving up on the 2/3-inch sensor, discontinues the X30. This was reported by Petapixel. And what they wrote was, Fujifilm just discontinued the not-quite-popular X30. And while some might think this means an X40 is coming soon, they should think again. Fuji may never put another 2/3-inch sensor into an X-series camera again. And basically, the angle that Petapixel took on this is that this allows Fuji to focus on the cameras that are successful and that people do want, and, you know, not waste energy on the X30, the X40, and whatever may come after that. Anything that uses a 2/3-inch sensor. And, you know, to my logical brain, I have to say that makes a lot of sense. The emotional part of me is saddened by this, because one of my favorite digital cameras, and one that I will probably never sell, is the X20. I just think it's a cool camera, and I think it takes great pictures. I love the images that the X20 produces. I think the 2/3-inch sensor is a nice size. Yes, it's not quite as big as the 1-inch or the Micro Four Thirds sensor, but it's a nice size sensor. And especially after they went to X-Trans with the X20 and the X30, I thought these things were terrific cameras. They were handsome. They had a very kind of Leica look to them. There was a lot of innovation on the inside. I love the color and black and white profiles where you could emulate different types of film and different looks. They're just neat cameras. And so I'm a little saddened by this. And I was thinking what they might do is produce an X40 with a 1-inch sensor. I thought that was the next step so that they could keep that camera line going, just update the sensor a bit. Petapixel thinks otherwise, and I guess we'll see up the road. But right now, if this is the end of the X20, X30, X40 line, then I think that's too bad, because those were cool cameras. Coming soon, the Apple Photos book for photographers. So I have been dying to talk about this, and I haven't been able to. So I've been working on a book for Rocky Nook for some time now. Books take time. And it's called the Apple Photos book for photographers. And what we wanted to do, what I wanted to do, and what they're totally behind, is I wanted to create a book on photos for OS X that was for enthusiast photographers, for people who like photography, who enjoy photography, and who know something about photography. Because I think the rap on photos has been, and you know, deservedly so to some degree, that it's just for snapshooters. And I just don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. And the reason why I don't think that's true is because I have gone through this app inside and out. I have explored all the existing editing extensions for it. When something new comes about, I try it. And then we have an update, a major update coming to this application in June, which is just around the corner at WWDC. And it's going to take it to a whole new level. And this is just the way that Apple does these types of things these days, which is they take care of the stuff under the hood first. They get it working well, new code, fresh coat of paint. They release it, and then they continue to evolve it over time. But what people do is they judge the application based on its initial release and then never give it a second look. And I think in this case, just like I do with Final Cut 10, I think that's a mistake. I think that's a mistake. So what I wanted to do was write a book for photographers who are willing to take a look at this application at a more serious level and to really look at what the editing extensions can do. Really look at how you can integrate it into your existing photo workflow. And then look at the new tools that are coming up the road here this year that I think will make this even better. So here's our approach on this book. So the first version is written now. It's been going through layout. It looks gorgeous. And we're going to release it as an ebook. And it'll be just around the corner. It won't be too long. Ebook only at first. And we've created a sign-up page. And it's just rockynook.com/apple-photos-updates. rockynook.com/apple-photos-updates. And of course, I have the link in the show notes. You just click there. So you can sign up. You'll find out not only when the ebook is out, but you'll also be kept abreast of this project as it evolves. Because after WWDC, after the new features are official, then I'm going to update the book immediately. We're going to update the book immediately. We're going to update the ebook, and then we're going to go to print, and we're going to do the print book then too. And those who buy the ebook right off the bat, first of all, we'll get a discount. If you go to the sign-up page, you'll get a discount, and then you'll be able to get the updates for just a nominal update fee. It won't be very much. So it's not like you're going to have to buy the whole book over and over again. You won't have to do this. And I'm just really excited about it. And the more I worked on the book, taking this angle of a serious photographer using this application and all the great stuff that's happening, the latest editing extension, Filters for Photos, I just wrote about it. It's free. It's free and it's crazy good. If you didn't see the story on the digital story, you need to take a look at it. Has all these terrific filters, and then there's a masking function built into it so that you can control how the filter is applied or even just apply the filter to certain areas of the shot. And it's easy to use, all non-destructive, all part of Photosphere OS 10. And these things just keep rolling out and rolling out and rolling out. It's amazing what you can do. And then Photos is part of the whole iCloud environment, so it's shared across devices. It just goes on and on. So what I do in the book is show you the ins and outs of this app and how to leverage it in a very intelligent way. And this is just going to keep getting more and more interested. So if any of this sounds fun to you at all, then I encourage you to go to the sign-up page at Rocky Nook, rockynook.com/apple-photos-updates. Go ahead and put your email in there. You'll be on the sign-up list. We'll keep you posted about this project as it unfolds. And I think if you work with me on this, you will certainly see Photos in a whole new light. And maybe you'll even give it a second chance and consider integrating it into your existing workflow. Win 5 rolls of Tri-X 35mm film. All right, film photographers, those of you that enjoy film photography or are thinking about dusting off your old camera and getting back into it, here's an easy way to win 5 rolls of Tri-X film. I'm going to give away one package of 5 rolls of film to one person next week. And here's what you have to do to have a chance to win it. All you have to do is go to theanalogstory.com, review about that shot. That's one of the categories on theanalogstory.com, about that shot. And all it is a photo that I think is interesting, and then just a paragraph or two of text about the photo. It's about that shot. Here's the picture. Here's what was going on when I took it, and here's why I'm showing it to you. Send me one of those after you review a couple. I want you to review them so you get a feel for it. Send me your version of about that shot. Send me a film photograph that you have with a paragraph or two of text about that shot. Send it to theanalogstory@gmail.com. And there's a contact form on the site. You can just use that. And, you know, all the contact information is there. So if you forget any of this, just go to the site and everything is there. Send it to me this week. I'm going to cut off on Sunday night. I'm going to pick a winner. I'm going to publish their shot. And then they're going to win the 5 rolls of Tri-X film, and I'll ship it to them. And I'll tell you, having 5 rolls of Tri-X film, that is a beautiful thing. So if you'd like to have the possibility of winning 5 rolls of film, just go to theanalogstory.com, look at a couple about that shot, send me your version of it to theanalogstory@gmail.com, and cross your fingers. And I'll let you know next week, both on this podcast and then also on the site itself. Alrighty here, let's see. I think the only thing in terms of updates I want to talk about this week is that we still have a seat open for the Eastern Sierra Workshop, and that starts October 20th and runs through October 23rd. We're going to stay at the Silver Maple Inn in Bridgeport, and we are going to do all sorts of stuff. Shoot fall color, go to Bodie, go to Mona Lake, just have a blast. I tell you, it's life unlike any other kind of life I've experienced over there. And I never want to leave. So we still have a seat open. You can just go to thedigitalstory.com, go to workshops. It's up there in the nav bar. There's a send me info form. There's 3 fields. It'll take you 10 seconds. Just say, send me info on the Eastern Sierra Workshop, and I will send you a registration form. You can take a look at the itinerary and all the details. If you like what you see, you can sign up and get that last seat and join us in October for what I think is going to be an amazing adventure. And finally, I'd like to thank our friends at Red River Paper. They have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And if you want to make prints from your inkjet printer that wow your friends and demonstrate your artistic ability, go to Red River Paper. take a look at all the different surfaces they have to offer. Take a look at the greeting cards. Take a look at the panorama print sizes. Take a look at all the goodies. Get a few things, make some prints, and show them how great of an artist you really are. Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Alrighty, that's gonna do it for me this week. I'm working on some great stories for next week. Come back and join me. I just love having you here with me every week. It's fun to have a photography community, and it's great to have you part of it. Until then, bye-bye now.